in every single debate.
How do we go back to the original and not the remix? I just realized that I was like, last week and this week, I was like, oh, this is original. But it's okay. Jobber Nation, welcome to another episode of the Jobber Tears Podcast. As always, I'm Janelle from HR. Here That's with Sir Wilkins wrong. And Mr. Black in the building. Mr. Black, the referee in the building. Before we do get started on some, I think, highly anticipated thoughts and opinions on this week in wrestling. It's a full weekend of wrestling here in the tri-state area. A few shows that I know of course, and they've been pushing it a lot. Evictus, which is going to be Friday in Ridgefield Park, featuring no other than shout outs to Shane Taylor Promotions. That's going to be in the building. So super excited to see my good old friend, in the Northeast. And then Saturday, there are a few, but I do know, there is one at, good old, what's the shit called? Elks Lodge, I think, my homeboy Nikolai, he's on that card. So I wanted to shout out him.
Shout out to Nikolai White.
Love me some H2O. Because it was crazy because I didn't care for the gimmick at first, I'm gonna be honest, but then I felt like he embraced it and then it helped. And then Sunday, shout out to Peter Rosado on We Are Wrestling. Those that are interested, before, I think Bell is at, I want to say Izzy. 3, but at 11 they will be doing a seminar featuring no other than Jay Lethal. So I do believe there are some spots still available, so you can hit up Peter Rosado for that information. Where we will be sponsoring Jobber Tears South, so shout outs to y'all in Montana coming up to represent us in the fashion that they know. Before we get started, yo, let me tell y'all, so y'all know I'm not into basketball like that. That's not really my smooch. I'm more of a football kind of gal. So this morning, we were watching, we go in these dark holes on WorldStar and it's ridiculous. And one clip we ended up watching was how Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal be going at it all the time.
All the time.
And I never knew. And then I went into a dark hole on YouTube and just started finding clips of them like going at it at each other. Yo, the first clip I watched was how it like they made it like how this all began type shit. And it was when Charles Barkley fucking threw the basketball at Shaq. During the game.
I remember that.
And that shit, that started it all. So it's funny because Shaq always, it's random guys, but I just was so tickled by this shit this morning. So Shaq, whenever they go at it, Shaq always hits the nigga with, but do you have rings?
Yeah.
Like, have you won back to back to back? Like, he always finds a way to insert the fact that this nigga has no rings.
But Charles Barkley be having points though, but he was like, but D-Wade helped you, but Kobe helped you, but I got rings. I drove the bus.
That's the new thing. He said it would not be anything without me a part of that.
It's Charles Barkley, like, yo, like Charles Barkley said a couple of months ago about, you know, when you're head of the team, the big dog, you're the one who drive the bus. So then Shaq's now like, I drove the bus though. He's like, but you had Kobe and D-Wade,
and like,
but
every, I drove the bus. Yo, every 2 seconds he's like, but you were on Kobe's tail. Like,
exactly.
he was on his bandwagon.
Exactly.
Yo, he went ham because he had told him, I guess that one of the clips I watched, he was talking about Kevin Durant and James Harden. And I guess at the time, James Harden was like on some MVP level shit. I don't know what year it was or whatever from the clip. But then he ended up getting injured. Mm-hmm. So then Charles Barkley started talking about Kevin Durant. And then Shaq goes, stop bandwagon. The whole entire time he's talking, Shaq's in the background like, stop bandwagon. You're bandwagging. Stop bandwagging. I was like,
it's entertaining though.
Are hilarious.
But okay.
Like, what the fuck?
All right. Here comes the backstory with the beef. When it was fighting on the court, right? Their mothers are cool and told them to cut it out. So like, they're like basically brothers.
They actually the way that they banter low key reminds me of the two of you guys. So it's mad funny. Like, how that like intertwines and how I brought that all the way back to us.
Yeah.
What else has been going on with you guys? How's this week? How's life? How's everything going?
Referee is life. Referee life.
How's the referee life going for you? What's the highs and lows? In all honesty.
The lows
is... Do your knees hurt? Pause.
No, because like I stretch every morning. I take my seed oil, my black seed oil.
Okay.
Yeah, you know
that's always like a concern of mine. Cause like, yo, when you hit that mat, yo, your knees.
Oh, I hate bumping. Like, look, I don't have to do none of these bumps, but I love bumping. But it's just like it's hard because you have to unlearn. You have to untrain yourself. All right, the whole lows and lows is about wrestling. Is the after effect is learning how to just fall. Like taking a back bump hurts no matter what. Like you have to remember like tuck it in and go like spread out. It's easy in theory, but when you know better and you have to do better, it's harder. Because I probably took 1,000 bumps back in the day in backyard wrestling. Because you didn't know better. When you do know better, you look like, oh, you mess up. But it's the most rewarding thing ever is because you allow yourself to be a child again and learning something.
Okay.
So instead of me taking like everything's a victory. Like for example, if I get through practice and I do my bump properly, pat on the back, dogs, pat on the back.
Yeah, because it's okay it one thing
up,
at a time.
It builds up and like it humbles me. Like, all right, cool. Even in roughing, it's I'm learning to pace myself and it's the little stuff. You understand? Like, you're like the backbone, low-key. Like, you make sure people are okay.
Yeah.
You understand? You pick up the garbage. You understand? Like, you make sure people get their equipment. Make sure that you get the time cues and everything. You take a lot of shit, though. Like, if you mess up one thing, you take a lot of shit. Like,
yeah.
If I was a really fucked up person and niggas didn't like me,
fast count.
People would have chewed me out. But the fact that I come in with a very, like, mentality of, oh, I don't take nothing personally. People don't get on me. They get on me a sense of like, okay, that's why I tell people, if you want quality refereeing, quality coaches, Fallout Shelter.
There you go. Fallout Shelter. Shout out to Fallout Shelter.
Shout out to us, man.
And all the lovely students. Bam, yeah.
I hate that nigga.
Why?
Because we beefing right now.
How you beat? Okay.
Him and Big Cuzzo in the tag team now.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Cuzzo's at the school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Cuzzo.
Yeah. He played the piano for me on Sunday.
You should stop by one day.
Yeah, if you can. But yeah, Sir Wilkins, what's going on with you?
Nothing much, just chilling.
You out here carrying your life to record? I was like, is this nigga moving?
Charles Barkley said some wild shit the other day.
See? Yeah.
He was just like,
fuck your mama or something?
He said, you better leave me alone before I fuck your mother.
Yeah.
I'll probably say that too.
That nigga is wild.
He's old school with
Where is he from?
Alabama. Like Alabama.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
What?
Some middle American shit.
Alabama.
Are you kidding me?
Like, he's like,
Let me see. I'm intrigued.
Yeah,
now.
Alabama, yeah.
Because he does talk wild, reckless. And it's be like, what?
But I love the two dynamic between the two.
Yeah.
You know what I've been watching? F1 Ride to Die or something like that.
What's that?
What is that?
Oh, it's like the Formula One thing?
Yeah. It's actually really good.
The race car.
Wait, that's actually random of you to be watching.
Wait, hold on.
You're trying to put storylines in racing?
No, it's a Netflix show. It's a Netflix documentary about F1 racing.
Okay. I watched that.
Oh, that's just like how I watched, what is it called? I ended up binging because it came, I didn't realize it was a new season. And then I was like, holy shit. I think it's called Bling Empire. It's basically centered around like socialites, like Asian socialites in LA.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And I watched the first season.
There's an African one too.
And
what is it?
It's called Bling Empire.
So what is it about?
I just told you.
So
it's like about
the Kardashian,
it's
but Asian
reality.
Version.
Yeah, it's like high end Asians. Like, we talking about millionaires, billionaires.
So, bump the Asian people. So, there's a black one.
I'm new. That's new news to me.
Wait. There's an African one.
Wait. Quick question. Why to the Westbrooks?
The what?
The Westbrooks.
Oh, I have no idea.
Let me see what it's called. It's an African one. I forgot what the name was again.
But that's what I ended up watching that like through and through. I finally got Mikey to start a million little things.
Young, Famous, and African.
Oh, I watched that. I actually watched it all the way to the last episode. I saved the last episode for like a random day. I want to be like, all right, cool. Cause they got a lot of like random African movies on Netflix that are actually like really good.
Fire.
So it's called Formula One Drive to Survive.
I'm watching. Oh. Hell yeah.
What made you start watching that?
All my clients were talking about it, and they're like, "Have you seen it?" And I was like, "I haven't seen it yet." So one of my clients, she's really into it, and I was like, "Who the fuck watches Formula One?" She was like, "Well, I've been watching for years because my dad is into her dad was into car racing."
Yeah.
So I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." She's like, "But it's become real popular in America." Because it's a more of a European thing.
Yeah, because that's basically what Eve's husband does.
Yeah, so.
For real?
They get paid mad
the
bread.
The gumball thing, that's his thing.
But one of the top guys, Lewis Hamilton, he's black.
That's the black dude.
Whoa, he black?
Yeah,
he's
that's
like,
the black
he's like
dude.
Ranked second. There was a picture that came out one day. They were all at the
because remember the if y'all know if you
Why
remember
they got
the
black people in this shit
the
now?
Controversy where somebody
now.
I think had hung a noose or something.
Oh, Bubba Wallace.
That's Bubba Wallace. That's somebody different.
No, but they did it to him.
What?
No, they didn't.
It was something racist that they did
it
to him. Some,
but it wasn't like, I don't
but
think
it was like some Confederate shit.
So
like, it was
straight,
wild.
It was straight.
No, I think it was Bubba Wallace for that
one.
You
have to wait instead. There's black people in Formula
racist.
One.
Yeah,
yo, go
racist.
Ahead, finish.
Now
in
hockey,
now.
Too.
Yo, I've been on about black because back in the day, there was a dude in the Rangers like with dreads. That's all I know.
Was it Larry Morgan? But shout out to the Rangers currently going out for
Diane,
the Stanley Cup.
Jersey.
But you said Jersey.
Yeah, Diane.
Oh, okay. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. For real,
it was 13 years ago. He said he was targeted by in. But yeah, that's accepted. He
so
races in Europe. He has locks and everything.
Whoa, you got dreads?
Yeah. So it's
is his wife white?
It's European. It's Europe, but it's a good show. It's a really good show. So the thing is, Formula One is like. It's like high end, like super high end, like
it's like luxury it, NASCAR.
Like, if you go to like, they have a huge event in Monaco,
mm-hmm.
like the tickets are $15,000, but it's like people on yachts, boat parties, like billionaires on top of billionaires, like
oligarchies.
It's
the same aspect of NASCAR. Like they just go around in circles.
No, it's go around in circles. But the thing about it, it's like the way that they present it on the show. It's super intense. So think about Hard Knocks, the TV show, the NFL one. But like, think about with multiple teams that they're going through,
Ooh.
And they have different characters, they have different people that they're dealing with.
So like, isn't like Formula One where like they actually go through cities and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Formula One is better than NASCAR because Formula One literally like they like I'd be like blocks by because I play with them Forza sometimes. It'd be blocks of blocks. They cut it off and you see people cheering. It looks. Aesthetic wise, it looks better than NASCAR.
Aesthetic wise, but it's like super high
end.
But it's like it's mad expensive to do it. Like you have to own a team. There's like a guy from India. He owns a team, but he's in.
Because you got to get like sponsors and all type of stuff going
on.
It's
cool. It was so.
Speaking
far,
about
cool.
Hard Knocks, because we went to the football side of things, and we'll talk about wrestling shortly. I actually got back into watching the game because we had ended up getting Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
So they had started this new season of the game, and I started watching it, I was just like. I actually enjoyed it.
I know that Tasha Mack is the owner now, right?
Because towards the end, no. So Tasha Mack is still like Tasha Mack, like head of her agency. She's representing clients. Her son is the quarterback of the team. Darren Davis pops up as like he does a podcast.
Darren Davis?
Yeah, the other black dude that was with
the receiver.
Tia. Maybe.
The one with Melody.
Yes.
Okay.
Him.
He's on the show?
He's on the show. Because I had told Mikey about it. He was like, nah, if the original people ain't in it, I ain't fucking with it. And I was like,
Blue? He's in it?
Okay, cool. Wait, who?
Blue.
Who's that?
The other receiver that replaced Darren Davis.
No. It basically circles around Tasha, her son, and Jason, the one that was married to Kelly, his daughter. It circles around his daughter, Tasha, the son, and then this guy that was like a top prospect ended up being accused of raping his girlfriend, ended up going to jail, and is now he's trying out for the team. Like, that's the only team. Like it was some like black bullshit, and like the team is taking a chance on him.
So,
it's actually really good. Like, I liked it.
One question I have to ask. Do they got T in it?
You said T? No. No.
Aye. Mikey likes it.
It's okay. He hasn't watched it. No. He's on a million little things. So we're focused on that. And then last thing, we actually started getting back into Black Lightning. So,
okay.
So that shit, we're on that second to last season.
I finished This Is Us.
So, I can't.
Wait a minute.
I'm actually
watching Young Rock.
I have not.
Yo, they're up to like now. They're up to the beginning of the Attitude Era.
I heard Cole Cabana played Brooklyn Brawler.
Brooklyn Brawler. Yeah,
that's
pretty
dope.
Like, you have to listen. Young Rock is one of the best shows on television.
People keep saying that. So.
And the Wonder Years because they black, like they chocolate black.
Oh no, I know that, but
chocolate
it was
black.
I felt like.
And the mother's smoking like nice. Shout my son Ron.
I'm dead. But all right, let's get into talking about some good old wrestling. We're gonna get to the elephant in the room.
Get to that one first. Come on, dog.
I feel like we shouldn't yet. Like, I feel like we gotta build it up a little bit. But before we get into that, let's talk about some new pieces of business. First things first, let's talk about MJF. He's been making some rumbles in the wrestling community, in the wrestling world. As everyone knows, his contract with AEW ends in 2024. He's been very vocal about 2024. He's been very vocal about possibly jumping ship in promos and in things like that. So, where now, you know, they're at a standstill where he wants to renegotiate his contract in the middle of his contract, which is understandable because the MJF that we know now was not the MJF when he entered 3 years ago. So that it's understandable. But Tony Khan seems to not be budging. So they're kind of at that standstill. But what are your thoughts? Do you guys feel that MJF is in the position to renegotiate? So that's the first question. And then the second question would be, does he stay or does he go? Like what direction, does he do? Does he ride out to 2024? Does he say, fuck it, let me sit home and get this money and you guys realize my worth? Or do I just say, fuck everything and I'm going to jump ship?
Tony Khan is willing to give him the money. Basically saying that just 5 more years. That's it. End of story.
So that's the other thing. So Tony doesn't mind Black Machine. He doesn't mind giving him the extra money. He just has to extend the years. But what he wants is he wants the extra money now, and then when 2024 comes, then to renegotiate and resign.
No,
if that's the choice. But that's he wrong for that?
No, but the thing about it is, if you wait to 2024, there's more money. That's what Talon been telling their friends from WWE. Wait until 2024, we're getting a bigger TV deal. Simple as that. You could wait for 2024 and get the bag from WWE or AEW. Or you could be selfish now and be like, well, I like to say what John Wall went through. He basically was making the same exact amount as, what's that dude's name? What's that dude's name? He plays for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Reggie Jackson. Because of the salary bump. Come on.
Okay. Sir Wilkins, your thoughts. Is MJF in the wrong for wanting more money for his, I guess, worth?
No, it's typical sports shit. He just wants to restructure his contract. But you also got to see from Tony's point of view, which I understand, because it's like, nigga, no. I'm not giving you more money, and then you're
just
not going
to... Just up and go.
So you can leave. Like, it doesn't work like that. Like, so you got to sign an extension.
So what do you guys think ultimately may happen?
He's leaving.
That's it.
You guys think he's leaving?
That's it.
He's leaving because, like, right now WWE is in a transitional period,
mm-hmm,
when it comes to talent, and they need younger talent to come over, and they need something to like bolster the just the roster in general, because they cut a lot of talent, even though they're working on bringing in new people.
Yeah.
Especially for development, but they need superstars.
Okay.
And MJF wants to get the money, wants to make the bag.
Yeah.
Because he knows, like, you got to understand, like, nothing's guaranteed.
Absolutely. Like, he can, look at Bret Hart, signed $1 million deal with WCW when he got there, was injured in 2.5 seconds, career over.
Like, Tony Khan's willing to give him it, but just work with me. Simple. Like, MJF, all right, cool, they don't want to give you it. You wait till 2024. You know, AEW want to give you it. Go to WWE. End of story.
So do you think if he stays, hypothetical, if he stays with AEW, do you think that he'll have more, will he have more opportunities to do things outside of the ring for AEW or with WWE?
I don't know. Because we're talking as of right now.
He hasn't done anything outside the ring with AEW.
Yeah,
besides do interviews.
Right. Right.
That actually some are not approved.
Yeah,
but
he hasn't done anything.
He hasn't done anything. But overall, though, it's safe to say that. But there would be a lot of people doing third party things now, and who knows how it'll be in 2024, where like they'll be more open to actually do stuff to like make them feel like, yeah, let's stay. You don't know how to, right now. I cannot talk right now. I could talk for right now, but my future self may be like looking back on it and say you was wrong. WWE evolved to something else. MJF, like my brother said, what have you done outside the ring? Just do a bunch of interviews.
But is that more on his end or more on the company's
That's
end?
On his end.
It's not on both.
It's on his end because, honestly, be honest, what else does MJF does?
Well, I don't know.
Troll people online, and I've had two interviews.
What my reasoning for saying it is, I feel like if in the event he does end up leaving AEW, going to WWE, just like for the most part, I feel like there are other opportunities he can have while being in the E versus an AEW that's outside of the ring. Like the type of endorsements, the type of certain opportunities that I don't think he'll be able to have those doors on the AEW side versus the WWE side. That's where I was coming from
with
that. As of
right now, yes, you're 1,000% right.
No.
But hold on. As of right now, you're right. But later on, you don't know what kind of deal that AEW could pull in. But WWE is still WWE. When you think of wrestling, it's just like Clorox Bleach. When you think of bleach, you think of Clorox Bleach. You understand? Like when your mother sent you to the store and said, get some bleach, you know that get the 99 cents one, not the name brand Clorox.
Right, but
it's a name brand.
It's a name brand
so
thing.
So at the end of the day, yes, of course you get more opportunity in WWE. Cool. But it doesn't mean that he won't get opportunity in AEW.
I can't do that. I think it's about the same.
What?
The opportunity wise. Because WWE is they're very close when it comes to things. And they pick and choose who does a lot.
I agree with
so they might not pick MJF.
Oh, okay.
Even though he is a star, and not that time they will pick him, but they mostly do their cool stuff with baby faces.
That is true.
Majority of stuff that they do is with baby faces. So that's one. Number two, the beauty about AEW, regardless of how you feel about it, it's a new company. So they're willing to work with other companies and do stuff with other companies because it's so new and they're not stuck in any type of ways yet. They haven't established their brand. So they're, even though I feel like they're not hungry enough to expand what their audience is, they're more willing to do that while WWE really isn't sometimes. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to MJF, I just feel wherever he goes, he'll be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
The right now, the more bag would be WWE.
Right.
But you can get the bag later on.
And still be there.
Because MJF's real thing, I think what MJF's problem is right now is where he's on the list when it comes to who's being paid and how low he's on that list.
Yeah, because so you have, I think it's 5 million? You got categories. You got 5 million, you got 2 million, and then you got 1 million. So 5 million, I think, is Jericho Moxley. I think DB is in that realm. I said Jericho Moxley. The Bucks and them, Kenny and them, they're all in that between 2 and 5. I think even, and there's a few other people, but MJF is in that million.
Right now?
Right now. Exactly. Exactly how that's exactly why he's been the way he's been right now.
Well, it's but the thing about it, you're playing off your second contract.
He re-signed?
Yeah, he had re-signed for a mil.
Wait, he was getting under a mil the first year.
Yeah, because he just came in. The company just started.
Wait. Back up. So now he's mad that he signed a contract.
Basically, what it is that, but you have to understand his reasoning
behind
it.
When did he re-sign? So he signed, 3 years ago, like everybody else. When did that re-signing come involved? But regardless, the re-signing of 1 million, though, it's like, ugh.
No, because he never made that kind of money.
That part, yeah. But then I think I think it's more of a value thing. I don't even think it's a money thing at this point. It is a money thing, but it's also a value thing. Like, people tune in to AEW just to see what the fuck MJF is about to do. You're more you're more invested in whatever program MJF is in than 9 times out of 10 anybody else.
But if he did sign this deal, this is a Scottie Pippen situation.
I laugh at Scottie Pippen.
It's true. This is a, if it's true, this is a Scottie Pippen situation. You signed it. Deal with it.
But even if he signed, even not, I
even if he signed it, like, at the
first
end of the-
time, you have to understand, it's just like, you made me a millionaire. Technically speaking, he got paid a millionaire. It's just that, so that supposedly, so it's like in his head, he kind of want that Kevin Nash, Hogan deal. Whoever comes in after me and makes more money than me, I get a bump. But he didn't have that. Moxley has that.
They spoke about that on Conan and Disco's podcast. They had, I remember hearing that about how he basically kind of wants to mimic what Scott and Kevin did when they got into WCW, which essentially like makes, like, think about it. If somebody like Johnny Elite comes in, hashtag all elite, and he's getting, let's say, $3 million, and you got MJF that's still on the million and has been there for 3 years. You can see where he's just like,
then sign a shorter deal then.
Well, yeah.
But WWE,
I wouldn't have signed.
My thing is this. Well,
it sounded like he signed it 5 years. I wouldn't have
signed. He signed until next year. So he probably, when
2024.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, so yeah, 2 years. So he probably, how long the company's been around? Three years?
Yeah.
So he probably signed a 2 year deal. And then, no, it probably was like a 1 year deal because that's probably what they were giving out. And then he re upped for $1 million.
But did they re up during the pandemic?
I wouldn't be surprised. Because
that was that year later.
Or maybe he did it the year 2 years after.
So 2021.
Yeah, like last year maybe he re-upped.
Because, I mean, really, who do you think helped? Because really, MJF, I felt like, didn't really hit until like the back and forth with him and Punk.
Wait.
And that was last year.
Now I have a question. In WWE, do people have an issue with that? Do they renegotiate their contract?
I mean, I think it, outside of just WWE, I'm not too sure because I don't work for the E. I cannot speak on that. But I just think in general in business, I think what at times, and actually, you know what, not thinking about it, just as a regular, not a wrestler human being, like, I think it takes balls to go to someone and be like, yo, I want to renegotiate. Like, I want to renegotiate because I know my worth. And I think that is a common theme this week in wrestling is knowing your worth.
But then again, though, this is also professional athletes. Once you sign a contract, usually you can't renegotiate much because you're locked in that contract.
Well, it depends on the terms and conditions of that contract.
Exactly.
So, it's
it's just like Roman, the Shield, boom, they were still getting paid NXT money.
When they first started.
Yeah, exactly. And then when they renegotiate, they negotiate for more money.
Yeah. But that, I guess, essentially is what he's trying to do, but he's trying to do it in the middle of his contract.
Exactly. And this is why that it says like unprecedented throughout the locker room, because you don't do that in wrestling.
I wouldn't say you wouldn't do that because that's just like, think about it. What somebody's rate was last year, and let's say they've been running all around the country and wrestling and stuff, they have a right to be like, you know what? If you want to continue to book me, this is my rate now. Like, it's just it's business, but it's wrestling business. Period. Like, you have I think as a person, you have a right to say how you really feel about how much you're worth.
Yeah, but. Nigga, I still gotta pay you. So I'm gonna tell you if it's worth it.
Because look on it on the MJF side of things. You keep signing all these other random people, not random, you keep signing all these people, and now they coming in making more than me, and I'm the one that's bringing their viewership up.
No, but you're right about that. You're right. But this comes down to negotiation.
Correct.
So you could be worth $3 million a year or $3 million contract in general, but you negotiated $500,000, nigga.
Okay,
take this $500,000 because this is what you negotiated.
like come on,
like
bro.
The owner told Scott,
"You from New York?
I would not sign this deal."
He was to figure that out.
And what did Scotty do? Still sign the fucking deal.
Well, he's a dumbass, so that's neither here nor there. But MJF was sure the best, but. You know, it's just it's funny how, you know, wrestling, you know, has its ways. What else is before we get to the big topic of the week? What else is going on in wrestling? Shout out to Danny from Pretty Heels. If you have not, go to blackwrestlefest.com for information. There is a amazing Juneteenth weekend conference happening here in New York, presented by Pretty Heels. And then Battle Club Pro will be doing the Sunday show. So we're excited about that. So you can go to blackwrestlefest.com for more information and tickets. But when I was talking to her, she had brought up our favorite person in the world, Lio Rush, returning for the 18,000th time in wrestling.
He still has my shirt, though.
You say he still has your shirt?
And Danielle.
Oh, Dan?
She still has my Trisha Dora shirt.
Why does she have your shirt?
Because I put it in her bag when it was in D.C. Because the holder.
Oh. Did you bought another shirt, though.
I want my green shirt. What the fuck? What?
I thought you only had one shirt. So that's where I was fucked up. I was like, but you have a shirt.
Yo, I'm actually saying, but you bought another shirt. I still want my green shirt.
Well, that's between you, Danny, and God.
Yo, Matt Random. I know we're talking about Lio Rush, but I forgot to mention this. No. XFL signed a deal with Disney.
Yeah.
Like,
Dwayne said, if we gonna do this, we gonna do it.
No,
right.
So,
this Yo, is my XFL is about to be lit next year. So niggas don't know.
This is my thing. And I've said this before, and I said it online. Niggas ain't really putting the respect on Danny Garcia's name.
Okay.
Like, exactly.
Dwayne Johnson's ex-wife.
Oh, yeah, her.
No, but the thing about it, like...
That's some
granted,
shit.
Granted, like, The Rock's doing his thing, The Rock's brand, blah, blah, blah. But the main reason why this shit is popping is because of Danny Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
She runs his company.
Started the whole production company. Into the room talking about XFL. Like,
and then I remember somebody I had posted online. I was like, "Yo, this is huge that nobody is showing Danny Garcia respect like this. It doesn't make any sense to me." And people's like, "Well, it's the XFL." I was like, "Yo, do y'all not understand all the other shit that she's done?"
Mm-hmm.
Literally. This man's career was on life support until Danny Garcia told him to give him some tips. And now she's running his company.
Yeah.
Young Rock.
Yeah.
Like Black Adam. These are moves that she helped make.
Yeah. And
even if she wasn't directly involved in this, she literally has helped out in a certain type of way. Like his brand is valued like crazy. Random. Y'all niggas know I love Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
I went down a dark hole the other day.
YouTube.
Yeah. So the making of Fast and the Furious.
Now you sound like Mikey.
So why these action superstars are out here with borderline, I'm talking about contracts, right?
Okay.
Stick to the
contract episode. Okay.
So in Vin Diesel's contract, The Rock's contract, Jason Statham's contract, They can't lose fights.
Wait, lose? What do you mean?
They can't lose a fight or in their movies. And they can't look weak.
I mean, that's wrestling. And niggas watch
Triple H. It's legit.
And niggas watch Triple H.
It's legit
that's
wrestling.
Wrestling
and
101.
And then it's like, if you watch the movies, like let's say the fight between Jason Statham and The Rock.
It's always a tie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they have to throw the especially, equal amount of punches.
Especially the movie that they did together.
Wait.
That fight. I remember that fight. Yeah, that makes sense.
I gotta go over.
I have to go over.
Either I'm being put over or it's a tie.
Or it's not happening at all.
So I'm watching it. It's a really dope, like, YouTube. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
It's a really dope, like, YouTube page. It's like the mess of Fast and the Furious. And they go through, like, Fast and the Furious 1 to the one that with John Cena.
No,
it goes through the whole thing. It's two parts. It's like, it's not even that long. It's like 40 minutes. Yeah. But when I got to that part, it was a lot of egos involved, but it literally was like, so you remember that part? I think it was when Jason Statham first came to the thing,
yeah.
And we saw it together.
Yeah, when we went to
it was Vin Diesel and Jason Statham in the parking garage.
Yeah,
and you remember that line where he was like, "Sometimes the streets win," and he stomps the floor.
Yeah,
that the reason why he did that so Jason Statham wouldn't lose the fight.
Wow. You were fucking mind blown. You heard that shit,
bro. They didn't say it, but they showed the scenes of different parts of like in their legit in their contracts. It says I can't lose. I can't look weak.
I can't.
So a nigga to watch Triple H.
It's show business, baby.
Yeah. Entertainment, sports entertainment. At its finest. But yeah, talking going back to Lio Rush, she reappeared on I think New Japan. New Japan had a show down in DC.
Like, she just texted me, "You have your shirt this weekend." Too bad.
Too bad. Yeah, actually, Sunday. No. But she can give it to me, and right, I can give it to you next week.
Thank you.
So I was like, yo, this shit is crazy.
I mean, it's crazy, but it's not.
But and by the way, Vin Diesel literally owns that franchise.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah,
absolutely.
No, hold on. Yeah, there's this part.
It's whack without him, man.
No, the one that went to Tokyo Drift, right?
That should be like a.
But I like the guy in the Tokyo Drift.
They begged him to at least do a cameo so they can get money.
Oh, when he was in the one that just passed.
No, in the Tokyo Drift. He's in the beginning. That's because they begged him. Yeah, that's because they begged him to come back just to do a cameo. So then. It's just funny how is the involvement of the brand.
Was he in the... He wasn't in the second one, though?
No.
Because that was Tyrese and Old Boy.
Yeah. So then, also, Vin had beef with Tyrese when Tyrese came back.
I mean, that was very clear because Tyrese be low-key sucking his dick. It is very clear. Like, it's very clear Vin probably went up to him and was like, nigga, I'm not that guy. Like,
No. It. It's because Vin Diesel replaced him in the second one. Cause remember,
Vin was tight because he got replaced.
Cause he was like, "Oh, this nigga trying to replace me."
Oh, so he got tight at the replacement.
He got and that was Tyrese.
That wasn't Tyrese.
That was petty. He was being petty.
But clearly, he got the petty bug. Cause look at the shit with him and Rock.
But they all good now.
Oh, they good now.
They good now. They all
are we sure?
Supposedly.
Cause I do want to see the next Fast and Furious. I
mean, niggas went to space, dogs.
That shit was hot. I'm not gonna hold you.
But remember, Tyrese was like, "Yo. We're like superheroes. We can't die."
Yeah.
And the next scene, he don't die. I was like, "Yo, nigga, you supposed to die."
Because I was like, whoever wrote that shit purposely hyped us up thinking he was going to die. Yeah. And he didn't. And we were like, "What the? Listen, are you serious?"
When it comes to
I was just like, "Yo, black men cannot die."
There's the Marvel universe and the Fast and Furious universe.
But that was their point. They wanted to. So Vin Diesel was trying to create a universe.
Fast and Furious agents?
Wait, I was playing.
Yes. That was the whole point.
Wait, I was playing.
That was the whole point. He wanted to create a universe.
Well, I mean, but it makes sense because every time they do a Fast and Furious, they're in like a different city, and he always has to like assemble a fucking team.
He connects them all.
So and the last one just connected all of the fucking movies.
But shout out to Vin Diesel. This is the part where I was like, I fucks with him. So, originally when the script came out, I'm sorry guys, we're going way off stuff, but this was a really good like documentary. So originally when the script came out, they had somebody else, right? And then they got Vin Diesel to come on because Vin doing Riddick.
Yeah, that's a movie.
Yeah, so he did Riddick, right? And they're like, "All right, we're gonna bring Vin Diesel because they had somebody else, whatever." And the script was mad white. Vin Diesel was like, "We can't do this. I want diversity. I want different people from different backgrounds on this movie."
Wow.
He's like one of the low-key.
He was adamant about it. He was like, "I'm not doing this movie unless we get diversity, like legit diversity." That's why you see, like, it's more urban. You see people from different cultures in the movie.
Yeah, it's like not diversity.
Not going to hold you. Fast and Furious is probably one of the most diverse movies ever.
They got two different black dudes. They got the one.
You got the Asian guy.
Yeah, Ludacris, but he's mad smart.
He's mad smart. You got the Asian dude. Yeah. You got the girl.
That Hispanic.
You got the Wonder Woman girl.
And they're all smart, though. They're all smart.
Family,
but it's wild because you never know what Vin and his sister, like what their background is. It's weird.
Isn't Vin part black or Italian or something?
No, I meant like in the movie though, because then I really wanted them.
Is
I really
Spanish in the movie?
So that's the thing. I thought the sister was or something. And then when insert John Cena into the picture, I said, "Hold on a minute. I need someone to make this make sense."
You know, John Cena's name is Spanish though. La Cena, dinner.
What?
Think about it. John Cena? Cena La Cena is dinner in Spanish.
Oh, shit.
No. We're not. Spanish. No, I'm not doing that.
Oh, shit.
Nope.
Spanish, oh, no. So no. His name is Juan.
There you go.
Juan Cena.
Yeah.
Yo,
we're not doing this today. No,
Spanish
movie.
Nope.
That's it. La Cena is it, did son.
Nope.
I knew that. Pay attention. That one Spanish class will pay off in the future.
No,
I knew it.
I'm not
La
accepting
Cena.
That.
La
Cena. I'm not accepting that. No.
There you go.
Damn. Wow.
I mean, he does have a low-key, like his actual name is like very like look for me Spanish because it's Jonathan Felix. Anthony Cena, like he has like two middle names.
So maybe but he's no. Puerto Rican,
possibly,
or from Spain.
You know what? If Jonathan Cena, they should do like answer. See, like you remember that there was that show on PBS.
Someone said John Cena's last name is legit dinner in Italian. You see, dang.
Well, all the romance languages, most see, of the words are the same.
Episode, La Cena. There you go. Mm-hmm.
But it would be cool if like wrestlers did like their background and like figured out like where they were from.
I miss the days when wrestlers have fake backgrounds.
No, I don't miss that.
I know.
Because when Kofi was not Jamaican, that shit fucked me up.
He was talking bad casually one day. He just started talking bad. I was like, you never
so then when yo
he was smooth with it though.
Yo,
too.
That shit pisses
nobody
me off.
No,
yo,
Triple H pointed it out.
Yeah. Trip said it. He was like, yo, when Trips came out and hit that nigga with the, yo, what happened to your accent? I was like,
For a minute. No one said nothing. It was after like we was beefing Randy.
I really don't like the fake background shit. The worst one of them all was definitely Yoko, because that fucked me up. Like, I was just like,
you know what's funny? I had
that was the route we went.
I had told one of my coworkers, clients that. He's like, yeah, I used to be a fan. The big Japanese dude, Yoko's doing. I was like, he's not Japanese. He's like, what?
Yo, when I had to tell my boss and my coworker that Razor Ramon was not Cuban, them niggas was upset. Like, I broke kayfabe for them in the worst way. Because we were just talking about it, and this is literally right before he had passed, unfortunately. And we were talking about wrestling, of course. They like talking about it with me because they know I love it. And they were talking about Razor Ramon and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, but y'all know he not white, right? Mind you, I'm talking to my Jewish white boss and my Hispanic coworker, and I'm like, y'all know he not Cuban, he not Spanish. They like, what is he? I say he was born in Virginia, my guys. So,
but I kind of like those things. You know, like,
no.
What was your favorite one? I didn't like it because it now as an adult, I just feel like, oh, y'all was just fucking with me.
Yokozuna.
Because
Yokozuna had me for years.
Had yo and Mr. Fuji had you. Like, you really was like, ah.
You know what it is? I didn't put
and Jim Cornette, too.
Like, I didn't put two of them together until I got older. Because once you realize that, because, like, they tried to clinch with him and The Rock. I'm like, I guess The Rock is, like, I didn't put two together. Till years later, like, wait, he's not Asian,
you know,
so Samoan.
If we ever interview The Godfather, I really want to know what was the story behind Papa Shango. Like, I really, like, what route was y'all trying to go with that?
I mean, look at Farouk. He was a part of the nation. I mean, he's not part of the nation.
He was a nation. No, but their original idea of what, and that's why it's so funny now looking at it, when people look at the Nation of Domination, they look at it as like a black stable and it'll be being about black excellence and all that stuff. And granted, it transitioned into that, but it originally wasn't that. It was really about bringing all of the cultures together, which was why Los Boricuas was in Nation, like, fucking DOA was in a Nation. Like, it was the United Nations.
What's his name?
It was wild.
The Umbrella Coalition, or from Fred Hampton. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
It was that kind of feel.
But
Rainbow Coalition, not Umbrella. Rainbow Coalition.
But when you first think about Nation now, that's go that route.
It's the Nation of Islam.
You're right.
Yeah. How to edit it?
It went from the Rainbow Coalition with Fred Hampton to the Nation of Islam.
I think they had got a phone call from Louis Farrakhan.
Louis Farrakhan. Yeah.
I came to conclusion. I think WWE is part of Illuminati. Hear me out, because you don't notice that. How, once he offered man the championship, the whole Rainbow Coalition separated?
That's what they do to all groups.
No.
They break them apart.
No, I'm saying that. You see how when you unite everybody, you give the head the money, he forget the mission. And he wanted to divide against...
But he wasn't the head, though.
Farouk?
Farouk didn't get a championship.
No,
championship. But he was... But he was supposed to.
Come on. But then
he was supposed
to. Though, like, they went to gang wars.
Because I feel like he had that. I feel like he had that title shot with Taker.
Exactly.
And I feel like Rocky and them fucked it up for him. Mm-hmm. That's what he was supposed to win that
your
title.
Your own people.
Well,
but that's how it was.
It be like
there was he was put into the nation to put Rock over.
I'm talking Cape Faye, though.
But that that was the more eventually type of thing. That, no, wasn't
that was the that was the that was the reason.
They didn't
Rock
start the nation.
No,
to,
the Rock was put into the nation.
No, yes, that part him. Correct. But I didn't want it to be where it they started the nation just to put Rocky over.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
That was not it.
So.
Okay, you want to create that narrative because it's Rocky Maivia. I mean, then go for like, it. Yo, the fans but that's not it.
Talk about die, Rocky, die. Like, yo. Like, yo.
I saw it like.
Fans yo, are ruthless.
I been saying this stuff. Like, yo. A lot of fans want to say half the stuff rest of his faces.
Did you see the fan that fucking headbutted Joe Black?
For what?
Yo, at an indie show.
Oh. Yeah, he knocked his hat off and then he headbutted him.
Like. There's that fine line, like, or even that show we went to where the guy tried to like call the cops on like Darius Carter. We were just like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Wait, no, you were with me. We went this. That was that the last time we were in Staten Island? We were at a Warrior show. It probably was the last time we went out there too. And you know how Darius is at the crowd. Like, he's in heel. And that's the thing that fucks me up is, like, you can't complain when a wrestler is, like, doing their job. Like, mm-hmm. they are a heel. Yeah. And if you play the antics with them, you got to kind of, whatever comes your way, you got to eat that. Because you going
times,
back and forth.
Yeah, 10 out of 10 times, the promoter will come after you at the show and you say,
going,
thank you for that.
You going back and forth with them. But it wasn't that. At that time we went, it was not that. That dude and his son, his old, like, now it wasn't child. It was, like, an older. It was, like, either teenage or mid-20s. But the guy and his son just was complaining, was, like, trying to, like, get him, like, in trouble. Like, for real. Like, it's wild. It's a line in wrestling that's, like, very blurry. But it's, like, if you give that energy, you gotta be prepared.
People know the energy. Like, I give these wrestlers, I gotta eat it. Whatever comes from that,
you gotta eat it.
It's like a thin line that it's just like, as long as you don't talk nothing personally, you keep it in ring, it's fair game. But you as a fan, as I tell fans, don't get personal. You don't know about their mother, none of that. Say that the wrestling suck. Yes, it's wrestling. But niggas get too personal.
And the same goes for niggas on the internet that be wanting to comment and say certain shit. It's the same thing. It's like you don't know the person. You don't know their struggle. You don't know their life. So when you start getting personal with the exactly. back and forth, it's like, all right, now I can't even take you serious. And what you're trying, and your actual point that you're exactly. trying to push, I can't take serious because now you're trying to come at me and be disrespectful. And I think that's the unfortunate part that the current like climate in wrestling right now is like niggas out here is just being disrespectful. And it's just like you get to a point where you're like, when's enough enough? Like you not getting a check from Vince. Tony ain't got the budget for you. So you out here being the crusader of all crusaders is for what? Like, what are we doing? But that's neither here or there. I digress.
Shout out to my son Q for making an HR shirt.
I told him, I said, listen. So
that's a fire shirt. I want one.
Yo, I told Mikey. So somebody had messaged him and was like, yo, bro, do you feel a way about that? And he's like, yo, no. He's like,
She's
I don't.
Brand. She's on a brand.
But...
Little dick energy, I see.
But the funny, what I told Kreese, I said to him in a comment, I said, listen, at this point, mad people keep asking about this fucking shirt. I said, now you gotta fucking print it and bring it to Jobber Slam and I get 40% of the proceeds. At this point, we gotta start selling. Cause I was like, when he posted it, I was like,
that picture.
I was like,
and use that
why? I was like, why would you make a shirt?
Like a couple people, like I see people on other group chats that, take your picture.
My significant other uses it all the fucking time. And I just be like, what is wrong with you? And then what people don't understand is like that moment, I absolutely hate. It was one of the worst moments of our fucking show.
Who the hell took that picture?
I wonder who snapshotted it because it was from the video.
Miles did it.
Shout out to Miles.
Miles sent it to you, remember?
Us. Yeah, because he was just like, yo, if you could have seen your face when everything was going down. But shout out to Miles. He just got married.
Shout out to nigga Miles.
We miss you. We love you. We're so happy for you. But
I'm about to say, but like.
But yeah, I told him, I was like, listen, at this point, you may have to print shirts.
No.
Because
like,
niggas was really like on some like, where do I get this? And I was just like, what? Why would you wear that? Like,
I didn't even think of doing this.
So something to think about on the table, guys, for future reference. But all right, let's get into what everybody's been waiting for, is our thoughts and opinions on the biggest story of the week. So,
go ahead.
Monday Night Raw comes. And first of all, I love the fact that they've made the 10 o'clock hour the Cody Rhodes hour. And I'll talk about that more in This Week in Wrestling, but I just had to put that out there. But this week, the original main event on Monday Night Raw was supposed to be a six-pack challenge, where they had, I believe it was Doudrop, Nikki Ash, Becky, Asuka, Sasha, and Naomi in a six-pack challenge to determine the number one contender who will be facing Bianca Belair at Hell in a Cell in about, 3 weeks? Two, 3 weeks. It's coming up. And apparently, now, this is my thing, and I'm just going to put this as a disclaimer, is that there are multiple reports of multiple different things. And granted, we're going to give our thoughts and opinions on the matter, but just keep in mind that there are pieces to the puzzle that none of us are privy to because we were not physically there. So I just want to put that disclaimer there. I don't want anyone to think that, oh, we're going to just say things out of our ass. No, we do have honest and truthful opinions, but once again, they are opinions. And until the ladies decide to make their statement and come forward, you know, with their side of what's going on, then, you know, you got to kind of take it as it goes. It's a fluid situation. Yeah. So you got to be understanding, you got to be mindful, and you got to just not always jump to it pointing a finger at someone, whether it being WWE, whether it being the girls, whether it being anybody involved. And I think that's, you know, sometimes the toxicity in wrestling is that we're so quick to point fingers and blame and not actually understand the deeper seated root issue that's going on. So they were told that the six-pack challenge was happening, and apparently, allegedly, they were very not happy with creative and what they wanted them to do during the six-pack challenge. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe what it was is they were eventually going to be facing each other, and one of them would have pinned one of them. And in retrospect, makes zero sense. As tag team champions, doesn't make sense. Like, if you truly are trying to build them as champions and have them pin each other, it's a little bit of a weird dichotomy. But so that was the situation. They went to go talk to John Laurinaitis, who was head of talent relations, and things were said, and the ladies decided that that wasn't happening, and they decided to leave the arena, which they were in Virginia. So
shout out to Randy.
Shout out to Backstage Brawl in the building. So
shout out to Eric. Thoughts? Met you on the podcast.
Oh yeah, Eric too. Yeah, my FedEx dude.
You don't do podcast no more.
Cause he probably busy and he gonna get married soon. Mm-hmm. Hashtag send that invite, cause me and Mikey wanna go to a wedding. But anyway, so thoughts on the walkout, the apparent walkout. Thoughts on how do we move forward to avoid this being an issue? Cause really, creative is going to have one thing. The girls are going to have one thing. But like I said in the beginning of my disclaimer, it's a deeper seated rooted issue because there's been other multiple times where other people that are not the same gender, that are not the same color, that have done things. And this type of people reacting the way that they've been reacting, people saying the things they've been saying about Bianca and Sasha were not said about those individuals that have done exact same things or even worse.
Sasha and Naomi.
Correct. So, thoughts on the actual situation. Thoughts on how we can do better, just in general, of avoiding situations like this. And then your thoughts on what's next. Like, where do we go from here? Because I just think you have to keep in mind, Sasha definitely re-signed recently. So, she got some years on her contract. Naomi, apparently her contract was coming to an end soon, so she was in renegotiation time. So yeah, let's just hit those 3 points and kind of go from there, and then we'll transition to This Week in Wrestling. But thoughts on the situation that has been taking the wrestling community by storm?
I love it. This is dope shit.
I love that that was the most positive way to start off.
No, because when you look at the whole situation, it's, hey, first of all, first things first, 90% of us have quit a job before. That's one. Have said, yo, I'm not coming back. Not even give it 2 weeks, kind of like left the job. Yeah. In some time in your life, you've done that. For most people. Cool. Number two is sometimes when you don't know what your worth is, you don't stand up for yourself.
Correct.
And at this point, Sasha and Naomi have kind of figured out, like, yo, especially Sasha, like, I know what my value is. I can get a job anywhere. I don't need this. So that's how it's done sometimes. Sometimes you have to go the extreme to get shit done. Because when you're just raising your hand instead of yelling out, nobody's paying attention to you. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a situation with that. Now, Cody, when people online was like, yo, this is super unprofessional, Cody did the same thing. Cody went on Twitter, and he didn't do the same thing, like walk out. He went on Twitter and said, I want my release. He even said that was mad unprofessional.
Everyone's clapping. Neville did the same shit.
Neville did the same thing. Yo,
I don't want to put this man over, and what he did, he left. FTR did the same shit.
Yeah.
Stone Cold did the same shit.
FTR.
Yo, Stone Cold put his dick on the table and said, fuck y'all, I'm out. I ain't showing up. I ain't doing shit.
Exactly.
Boom. Like, the point where Jim Ross had to fly down to where the fuck Austin was and was like, all right, listen, we need to have a conversation because we can't keep doing it. What are we doing here? So, go ahead.
Yeah, it's that's how these things are. And to be honest, it happens in football all the time. You're in a contract. You're like, yo, I don't want to do this. Either you're going to trade me or release me. I don't want to be here anymore. That happens in sports. People do holdouts. People will sit down, especially if they want a new contract.
Ben Simmons.
But I personally like this because it shows the other side of wrestling instead of the inside. It gives us content to talk about, obviously.
Exactly. Clearly.
But it also shows the reality, the business side of things.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. you got to think about it. Are they wrong for what they did? To be honest, not really. Because you're tag team champions and you're helping put over your women's champions, which is fine, but what about being tag team champions?
What about the actual purpose of what we are currently, the situation we're currently in?
Now, what threw me off was WWE
official statement.
Official statement. That, fucked
that
was
me
a
up.
Little weird.
That was weird.
But then it caught so much fire that E! News.
Fucking the New York Post tweeted about Sasha Banks and Naomi.
But that,
like,
shows
what
that,
the fuck
that
is going
power.
On here.
Because now, that whole thing, if WWE have kept their mouth shut, they could have finagled their way out the situation. But because they did what they did, it backs them in a corner. Because you can't release them.
At all.
Anybody was going to pick them up. And now they're with the competition, because that's a huge pickup for anybody's women's division. Number two, the fact, this is when, like, racism gets a little bit in. Because you're calling them super unprofessional and saying they have a bad attitude. Now you're gaslighting them.
I was going to say.
And then Corey Graves is on commentators like, yo.
And they go wild. That's
but he said he's just doing his job. But at the same time.
The statement in Corey, what he said on Raw, is what threw me off. Because I was just like. And that's why. So when Corey first said it, because Corey, what he said on TV came first before the official statement. So when Corey Graves said what he said, that's where my. Like, y'all know I got trust issues with wrestling. So that's where I was like, is this for real?
That's what I'm saying. Because I had to ask that question.
Because I was like, is this for real? Right. Like, okay. Right. And y'all already know how I feel. But
the crazy thing about everything about all of this, before I even get into that, is you're right. Because the way that y'all treating these women is disgusting. Because Charlotte disrespected the women's championship by throwing it on television, live television. But yet, y'all didn't go crazy about that, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said nothing about that. Yeah, some of y'all applaud. Yeah. This, that, a third. Because of her skin. But a black woman does it, it's an attitude problem. How many times people are online talking about, oh, I met Sasha, that she had an attitude. But yet, they don't say that, how they approach her. Some of y'all fans are disrespectful.
Correct.
The way that... y'all even approach me majority of the time, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Address me better. You feel me? That's two. Mm-hmm. And the fact that when it comes to that tag team championship, they look like something like it might be an angle where, oh, because they're two single stars. You're right. But on the men's side, you don't see Randy and Riddle doing that. They're doing tag team shit.
So I'm going to go off of what you said. So... And I've said it previously, and you guys can go back in the archives on the YouTube. You can subscribe to our YouTube page, cheap plug. But I've said it before. They should have never done a women's tag team title. Never. And it's not a shot at the actual talent. It's more or less the pool of talent that you have are not tag teams.
Exactly.
They are not, they not to say that they cannot be tag teams, because you've had odd pairings, but you had Cesaro and Sheamus, you had The Bar, you had the Rock and Sock Connection, you got Riddle and Randall right now.
Rock and Scott Hall.
There you go.
Yoka and
Owen Hart. Yeah. Random as fuck, but worked. And they became tag team champions. But I say that in the women's division, you don't have that many. First of all, you don't have that many women on the roster to really execute tag teams. But you don't, because they're not tag teams. They're not. And you don't present them that way. It's the same way, like right now on Raw, you got Street Profits, you got Alpha Academy, you got the Usos doing both shows, you got Randall and Riddle. You have all these, but you have these cluster of tag teams that have been either in rotation. They've never really had a rotation of tag teams to do a program for those tag titles.
And it goes back to the pattern when women win them. How many women won a women's tag team and then they won it, they made a big deal, and then they disappeared off the screen? It's a pattern with that belt. You understand?
Well, because it's there should not be one. Of that, what they should do, and honestly, they may want to take a page out of AEW's book, is, and you said it actually before too, they really should probably think about doing a mid-card women's title, and it being that, just like how the IC title is or the US title is. I don't know what you're gonna call it, but that's something you may want to re-look at, because you have the talent where you can have stories, you can have build-ups to win. And now when they drop that mid-card title, then now they're in that title picture. They're in that top-tier title picture. And I think the same way where they treat, you know, the men, where they have those storylines for the mid-card and they do that, the same should be for women in wrestling.
And
that's across the board.
And that's the thing I'll be saying. It's an issue with the women, period. And now on top of that is...
Because you sit there and you claim you don't know what to do with them, but you can figure it out.
It's literally common sense.
That's the whole point of being creative. That's the whole point of being a producer. That's the whole point of being like in that chair where you're directing, you're managing, you're doing those things. Yeah. You have the pool of talent. And so them walking out, it's just a sign of solidarity. It's a sign of like, listen, I am tired. And as a black woman that loves wrestling, that's been in the business, that's struggled, it just in general, even outside of wrestling, we are tired. We're tired of the mistreatment. We're tired of no one listening. You can hear us. Yeah, people hear that, oh, they left the building. Oh, they're disrespectful. Oh, they're unprofessional. But you're not listening to the why. You're not listening to the where did, was this the buildup? Because you can see they won the titles at Mania, which, mind you, I was there. I popped. Right, I was excited. Right. I, as a black girl, I was here for it all.
Right.
But then after, when the smoke clears, then what? Then you put them with you put them in like the, and I like the Natty and Shayna Baszler thing. I actually was fucking with it.
Yeah.
So like you could have definitely progressed in that. Also too, they can go on any brand. So the fact that they hadn't even maybe tiptoed into the NXT pool or been on both sides, like there's so many things that they could have done.
Backtrack this. Some people say, oh, this is a pattern that she was when like with the whole situation with her and Bayley, right?
What in the fuck? This nigga just did a corner roll in front of us, which you guys could probably see him pop up and be like, what the fuck?
So
now you don't hurt yourself.
So some people said that, oh, this is a pattern, whatever. So my thing is this. They know how to do women tag teams right. The most underrated era, the pandemic era. Her and Bayley was a two-woman power trip. They did tag team stuff. They went to NXT. And then when they lost to Kyrie and what's name Sang, what, how did that go? What I forgot, but Kyrie Sang was beefing with Charlotte and thing and that thing. You know how to do tag team wrestling. You know how to do it. Mm-hmm. So there's literally no excuse. Because guess what? Say what you may say, that Oscar Kyrie Sang versus Bayley and Sasha Banks was tough. Think about it. One moment you didn't like, Oscar's about to win, and then you see a friend in the back, Oscar! Oh, my friend! She ran out. Fire! My thing is this, and like you said, you could do storylines with the women's tag team division.
Yeah.
You just choose not
you
to.
Just, yeah, you choose. Simple. You pick and choose, and you get to a point where you're like, if I don't say nothing, or if I don't speak up, and I don't become the catalyst of a change, then what are we doing? It's like what we do with the podcast. It's like what I do for Battle Club. Exactly. It's like what you do when you do Unsanctioned. It's like now when you and your journey with refereeing, you cannot talk about and complain about us not getting opportunities, us not being appreciated, us not being in the forefront. When you don't do the moves so that you can change that type of narrative.
And
I don't know what this is.
You don't know what this is?
No.
It's a song.
What? What did I say?
Oh, yeah, that's the old school.
Do you understand? I cannot stand you for that. But this shit upsets me because we always sit here and everybody, once again, like an asshole, has an opinion, always has something to say. And without thinking about the power of your words, thinking about the power of your moves, them walking out, yeah, it can be unprofessional, and granted, yes, but there's a power to that. There's a power to them being able to saying, you know what, y'all got this. I'm gonna head out before either I do something or say something that I can't take back and that I don't want to do.
I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna add on these couple of things, right? I'm gonna say this first thing. I'm gonna say it from Sasha, what I know. This is just me as a fan noticing. You lied to me again, bitch. You did this shit again. I'm walking out. Once again, you didn't keep your word, my nigga. Because if you real talk, you promise us this program, whatever, but you didn't do it. Why is Doudrop and thinking in a match with us, and then you try to start up a program with Doudrop, some kind of tag team? You didn't have to put us in the match. You could just put one of us in the match, and that's it.
Well,
and
actually, neither one of them needed to be in the six pack.
Whatever. You could have had another segment with those tag team women going against each other. And Sasha, she says, you lied to me. Naomi looking at that, you know what, girl? And people don't understand, oh, Naomi being manipulated and stuff like that. That's a strong black woman
who raised her kids. There's no type of manipulation.
Right.
Come on.
And then something called, and this is how, like, we are the way we are within our community. We stick together. You're my tag team. And this is how people don't know. When you're in wrestling training, when you're a wrestler, your tag team is your wife. Just like with this whole podcast.
Or when you on the road.
Yeah. We all of us, like, when it's the three of us, we're the three of us. When it's the extension of us, Dre and all of us, it's all of us. We are family. You look out for each other. You feel me? If my brother said, yo, I don't fuck with this nigga because he did this to me, this size third, I can't work with you, I ain't repping for you then. Fuck you. So side there, somebody disrespect you. Yo, disrespect Janelle, son. Bro, suck my dick. I ain't working for you. Like, I could be in the middle of the show, and I see somebody disrespecting you. Take off my shirt, and I'm leaving. And I'm just going to say something regardless, because we stand together. All of this on such, he manipulated though, son. I could tell y'all niggas are pussy. Because I'm even going to refer to jobs. How many times women said that, you know what, I can't tolerate this. I got my period. I'm out. How many times as just men, I ain't going to do shit. I'm going to chill all day. That's your protest. You just too pussy not to say, you know what, I'm out. Everybody does a different form of protest when it comes to their jobs.
Correct. And I think for the most part, people view protesting negatively when it's not. It's you standing up for yourself. Just think about when George Floyd got shot and they did all the protests and the riots and in all the major cities. And you have, look, for, I'll even give you a better example. The, y'all heard about the Lyft driver? I hate you. Yo, y'all heard about the Lyft driver? I think it was in Philly or somewhere. I think it was somewhere. The Lyft driver, he had two customers come in his car and they said, oh, you're a white guy? Mind you, they're white. And he was just like, what did you say?
So if this was and, out there with black women, should Bianca have walked out with the... All right.
Wait, what? Hold on. I'm going to pause my Lyft driver. Sorry. What?
That, so
if I'm this, here for the comments.
So someone said that if this was just Charles, if this was a solidarity, if this was a black woman solidarity thing, shouldn't Bianca have walked out with them? No.
So I don't think... I think the thing was pertaining to them. Like, I don't think it had nothing to do with... it being a black solidarity thing. I think it was we are the tag team champions and y'all are not putting respect on our names. So therefore, what the fuck are we doing?
If we have solidarity. We're going to take the bullets. I guarantee it. But NXT, they doing a great job with the women's tag team.
Listen, NXT, come on,
again, the within hidden, your own company, the hidden showing how to do women's tag
fucking
team.
Gym. But you know what it is? I think it's, of course, because they're kind of re-going back to the developmental viewpoint where you can put two people together and just seeing if their chemistry works and seeing, like, when they do the Dusty Cup for both the men and the women and stuff like that. Like, they could put randoms together, but they kind of still have something going on. Like, when they gave Raquel and, whatchamacallit, Oh Girl, the tag team titles the first time, is because they were best friends. That made sense. And then when Ogre turned on her, it was like, okay,
But still, though, it still had to do tag team experience right.
Correct. But I mean, and let me be very clear, it's not just a WWE thing. Let me be very clear on that. Because AEW, as much as they are heavy in the stables and tag team shit, but when you're so heavy like that too, you have people that don't even get noticed, don't even get used. Like, I'm telling you, Santana and Ortiz, listen, y'all, just put up them deuces because they ain't do nothing with y'all and they should have, but that's neither here nor there.
But I want to go back to the booking for women.
It's all over the place.
I don't think wrestling companies, for the most part, know how to book women.
They don't know how to book long term booking for women.
They overthink it, and I think they also just don't put effort in or put them in a spot where it makes sense. Because I want to mention something. I have spoken about this already, but I want to say it again on here. Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa segment was put in the wrong spot last night.
It was the wrong spot, the wrong time. Wrong.
It should have ended the show, in my opinion.
It could have went both ways. It could have started or ended it.
I'd rather have it ended because of how they ended the segment. So, Serena Deeb can't really cut the best promo in the world, but...
Yo, I heard she's 35. She look old as shit.
She's not 35.
She's
been around for a minute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she cut a promo with a bunch of passion. She kind of, you know, blurred the lines between reality and kayfabe. Like it was really solid done promo. I'm not even a huge fan of her mic skills, but you felt it. You know, Thunder Rosa comes out, she gets hit, blah blah blah. Serena Deeb has the title in her hand. That should have been the end of AEW. Because once you see that, you go, oh, shit, I got to watch next week.
Yo, was it just me, though? Because I felt like, and I guess that transitions us into This Week in Wrestling while we still have a few minutes left. Was it just me, or did you feel the end of AEW last night being like, remember the beginnings of NWO and WCW, where it just ended in the melee, and then everybody was just fucking somebody up, and then it is so funny because it was the ultimate flashback, especially because Tony Schiavone was on commentary, so I was like, what the fuck am I watching? But that whole ending with the Young Bucks and the Hardy Boys,
that shit was stupid.
It gave me NWO vibes, it was, and I was just like, this is not it.
But I don't want this. Because, and this is my thing. I get it. Have the Bucks really had beef with Sting and Darby like that?
I don't know, but when they came down, when
because I felt weird about it.
The heels.
Yeah, but the thing about it, why? That's the thing. So like, so okay, you have the match Adam Cole versus Jeff Hardy. You know, everybody gets hyped about it. Everybody gets hyped about it. Like, oh my God, the legend, the superstar are going to go one on one.
I'm going to say something.
Right? The match happens. They lose. Matt comes into the ring. Boom, boom, boom. The Bucks come out. They kind of, you know, corner him. Next thing you know, Matt's on the floor. That's that. So you're setting up a potential
Hardy Boys.
Yeah. Versus
Hardy Boys versus Young Bucks.
Yeah. Young Bucks. So yeah,
it's happened already. But
dream match.
It's not dream match. It's not a dream match.
Yeah, it's a dream match for TV.
It's not.
How is it not?
They did Supercard.
Said for TV.
That's what I'm saying. Because I saw them wrestle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a dream match for television. Yeah.
Think about it. These are people like there's wrestling fans that who just watching on television.
Yeah, so they haven't been to a show. Yeah.
Fair. However, though, the match that they end up happening is going to not happen on TV. But continue.
If whatever happens, so it's a precursor,
right?
Why is Darby coming out? Why is Sting coming out? First of all, Darby comes out mad fast.
Yo, Sting
takes a solid 5 minutes for him to catch up.
He pulled the Undertaker and then just started fucking knocking niggas out.
So I just did it.
So I don't care.
There was no need for that
you
to be
felt
in
a disconnect.
Because there was no need for Darby and what's him to be there. You have everything. Sometimes I think Tony overbooks and WWE underbooks.
And there's no one in the middle.
Impact.
Impact does the same. Actually, every company kind of like either under or over. There's no like in between. Because not Impact Club. Impact will... That's a fact. Impact will sometimes... It's just, I don't know. It's a weird time. It's like, I don't want to say it's like fighting for territory. But it's a weird thing because you have all these mixture of people and there's no clear indication of where they belong. Like, they don't have, like, they have a, they don't have a home. It's weird because you got some of the ROH people that's still an Impact. And then you got the ROH people and that got titles in AEW.
Weird.
It's weird. It's weird. Like, I don't, I like, someone has to explain this. It's weird. It doesn't, and that's why, like, I cannot stress Tony Khan has to separate ROH and AEW. And because when you have, like, Samoa Joe and you got the Jay Lethal thing, that's an ROH thing. I know.
No, I understand that. But the thing about it, it's also, you're not
but it's like
creating it. You're not creating
it. But you're taking
anything
away. But my thing is, when you do that, when you present already established rivalries from companies that we are not privy to, because that's your fan base. Your fan base knows who the fuck is in the ring, what type of rivalry they've had. They know that shit.
Not everybody knows, but sometimes takes, you want to revisit
but
it.
But that takes away from the people that are literally been riding with AEW for the past 3 years.
But they're getting released. They're not getting re-signed. That's the thing. The people that's been there for a while, most of them are not getting re-signed.
But the thing about it is, the one thing that I give a knock at AEW is the Owen Hart tournament. Why there's only two originals?
How about that?
It's only two originals, you know? Like in the finals, it shouldn't have been Rey Fénix versus Darby Allin.
AEW was an expansion team when it started. So it used whatever it had. Now that it's an established team within wrestling, they are picking up who they want. That's what happened. They picked up whatever they had to fill a roster, whatever was out there.
And then now everybody that has been there is now suffering.
Well, because
the shit they did with Sheeta, that was fucked up. And I felt like they should have owned that. That was fucked up.
What did they do with
and it goes back to how you treat women in wrestling. They made it appear she had an injury.
Yeah, to hide
but
the
she was in Japan.
No, the green card issue.
She was in Japan. She just couldn't get back to the States.
Yeah, because the green card issue.
But my
them.
Thing is just say that shit.
But that's none of their business.
It is their business.
No, no. You see,
you can't sit there and you cannot sit there and give
why
that narrative.
You get a green card?
You cannot sit because it's a work visa.
Yeah, work visa.
You cannot sit there.
AEW can't get them a work visa?
No, there is, but like, you know how it is sometimes.
Sometimes it's trouble. She was in Japan. But my issue was not the work visa. My issue was you guys painted a picture and made it seem like she was completely unable, like physically unable to.
Yes.
In that sense, when that wasn't the case. When y'all could have just said, due to travel restrictions. Y'all could have just said the actual, what the fuck it was.
Yeah, keep kayfabe alive.
Exactly.
No. I understand that.
Because then she tweeted it and was like, awesome, like,
and that's on
what
her.
The fuck is going on?
But then,
and
then,
that's not the first time they've done some shit
to
her.
They should have spoken
exactly.
to her.
Exactly.
That's where they were wrong. They should have been like, exactly. "Hey, we're gonna figure this thing out. We're gonna make it look like you had an injury. So when you do come back, it was like a fucking big deal."
But the thing was, it was because she was in a tournament, so you can't even hold off on that shit.
Yes, you can. All the time, you can be like, "Yo, bitch, you injured.
Yeah,
we're gonna say you injured. But you in Japan." Eating those sweet Kobe beef.
I'm done. Pause.
Lee, stay over there. Relax. We're going to figure your shit out. We're going to say you injured. So when you pop up, you pop up.
I just didn't agree with. Listen.
My brother said it.
Own it and say it.
Someone said that was a good point about the whole expansion team. AEW's expansion team.
It's an expansion team. That's literally what AEW is.
Is it a downloadable?
It's the Timberwolves when they started.
It's the Charlotte Bobcats when it started.
Yeah, you take whatever you can get.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. Because at the time, NXT literally fucking pillaged the indies.
They did. And NXT and
they sucked
AEW,
everything up.
Yeah.
And then whatever was left, because listen, Triple H at one time was Thanos of the indies. He was collecting all of the gems.
And my nigga was
and he
going.
Almost had all of them, but he didn't. The last ones he didn't get was the Bucks and Kenny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He almost had all of them.
He almost had all the stones. But the last one was those two, and those held out, and they went to Tony. That's what happened. So then you have AEW come around, and now everybody's like, oh shit, there's a new company. Most of the people that were hot were signed already to NXT.
Yeah.
Majority.
So they had to take what was left.
So they took whatever was left and they played the long game, and then people's contract got ended. People didn't want to resign, or people got released.
Okay. All right. So let's real quick talk about some This Week in Wrestling. Did y'all see? Listen. I wasn't really into Matt Riddle when he was on the indies. I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. But he owes 5 minutes to Roman Reigns for that fucking knee to that fucking face. Like, I was like, oh my God. Like, that's how you end the show. That, how they ended SmackDown, that's how the fuck you end the show. That nigga high kneed him and walked out the ring and said, deal with it.
You know what it is?
Eat it.
You know the difference between Tony Khan and Vince? I'm starting to see that right now. And that's why I make Vince, and I see his vision. He sees it as a whole show.
Yeah.
Because you know what it is? He gets certain camera angles. He does certain
their
things.
Production?
Yeah. Excellent.
It's out of
it's
this
excellent.
World.
Because literally, that kick, I bet you can see it from above. You can see it from the park.
That cameraman was
everywhere.
In the, like, yeah. He had to be on his knees type shit.
It
the,
was fire
that viewpoint.
Because they had mad angles. So what I bring up is this, is you say what you may say about Tony Khan, and say what you may say about Vince, but he know how to present a fucking star. Because Cody,
I pop
I'm gonna
every
say this.
Fucking
I'm gonna
time.
Say this.
I don't care.
Cody remind me of that white teacher that who come from money and went to the hood. And try to make a change. He did a few programs.
So is he high school? Remember the movie High School High?
That's him. Because think about it. Cody tried to do a change to AEW, but it was just like,
these
nah,
niggas ain't listening.
We don't want this. You don't feel like he fits more in WWE?
I've been
always,
saying that.
Always. Like, and it's so like, it's wild because it's so more evident now. Every time that nigga comes out on Raw, you're like,
it is more
he
evident.
Was in the wrong place
and you said
at the wrong time.
He had to go there.
He had to figure. That was a part of his journey. And I know from, you know, the once again the promos, he, you know, him speaking and things like that since being back at WWE.
He doesn't
regret it, and he knows that that was needed for himself. But now Cody is home and is appreciated because everybody is whoa every fucking week.
But my brother
it
said
doesn't
this,
matter.
A couple episodes a while ago, and he said it like this: certain people like the abstract art. Certain people are free spirits. We don't need no structure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at some point in your journey, when you become who you are, you realize that I need structure. And reason why that I can relate to Cody Rhodes because, dang, I had to go out to the wild. You understand?
But what then
now, going to church and stuff like that, all that. And now I came to full circles where, like, I realize that I got to be this way. I got to conform. Not mm-hmm. really conform, but, like, I know who I am so I can fit in any system.
Right.
So the thing about it is certain people just belong in AEW. Certain people belong
right.
in WWE.
Right. It's correct.
And it's fine.
Correct.
At certain times, you have to grow the fuck up. Drew McIntyre, he left WWE. He came what? Back. He had to grow up.
Dry,
Bobby true. Lashley. He had to grow up.
Let me tell you, Robert. Let me tell you that I was glad they started the cage match. They opened Raw with that. That was smart. And I appreciated that. And then fucking Sed. Shout out to Sed. He know he fam. Mm-hmm. Him coming out. I was like, yo, Sed trying to really get put on. And I love it. But
overall,
they pulled a Vince Austin cage move, which I actually appreciated because it kept both of them looking strong still.
I mean, Bobby looked up and was like, oh.
Bobby was like confused, like, what the fuck? Where the fuck am I? And then fucking MVP and Omos selling it. It was a great way to open Raw. You have Asuka, who's now the number one contender and will be facing Bianca Belair at Hell in a Cell. You have now Cody entering Hell in a Cell for the very first time.
We were talking trash about Cody when like he was in AEW.
No, we were talking trash about the promo that everybody knows.
The things he did.
We were talking about how trash him and Anthony Ogogo was.
Listen, I love my nigga Cody, but I will call him out on his bullshit.
On the shit, yeah.
Cody Luther X.
Exactly.
Cody Luther X.
Not everything was perfect in AEW, so yeah, we can say, but it doesn't take away from the fact that niggas are still fucking with Cody.
And Cody liked it and commented. We said Brandon and him were too pretty for AEW. So how were we talking trash?
Listen, Cody, you are always welcome on the Jabba Tears podcast. Brandy, you are always welcome on here. And brunch is on me, girl, okay? What else on Raw? Real quick. Then we can transition into AEW. Well, NXT. Listen, if you are not watching NXT and y'all like storylines, y'all gotta go. Y'all gotta go to the USA Network on Tuesday nights. Because the shit they got going on with Joe Gacy.
That's Cody right there. Cody Luther X.
Cody said the one person I was excited to meet was Bianca Belair. But NXT this week was super. I like the fact that in the show, and I feel like they're the only ones that kind of really do it, is that they'll start throughout the show, they'll set up for next week's show. Mm-hmm. And I like shit like that because then now it makes you want to tune in. They finally did the Santo Escobar and Tony D'Angelo match, which was really good. And it was they went over 10 o'clock hour for the match, too. So that was really good.
Thank you.
What else this week in wrestling that tickled you or, you know, pinched your brains?
Wrestling was good in mild potty. It wasn't spicy beef.
Nigga said I went to Golden Crescent and got a mild beef
patty.
Ric Flair.
How do you Ric Flair?
Need to sit down.
Sit that ass down.
Keep this energy for Sting.
I've said this.
He don't like Sting, so
I've said
that
this.
Actually is a bad example.
Sting should not be wrestling.
But Sting,
I don't know
being
why
in
y'all
his
niggas
50s,
like this nigga.
I love Sting. I don't care.
Why?
That's what I grew up on.
Sting is overrated.
Think about the person that, or think of the group of people you grew up watching wrestling with. And you don't want nobody to talk shit about them. No, you cannot talk shit about colorful ass Sting. Black and white Sting. You can't talk
this
shit
is
about
overrated,
it.
Overrated, son. My son had red face paint with a goatee, though. Come on. Nigga was overrated.
That
nigga fought 60 niggas.
So was fucking Ultimate Warrior, but 60 niggas.
I'm not an Ultimate Warrior fan.
But I'm just saying, niggas drool over that nigga.
Sting
so,
fought
same 60 fucking
niggas
thing.
In the ring and won.
He didn't.
Who else? Him. Yes, he did. It was 60 niggas, B. And what, B? What wrestling for 60 niggas?
Well, Alberto Del Rio did 40.
So. What?
When he won that Royal Rumble, they had 40 men.
He didn't come out number one, dog.
Sting came out number one?
No, he didn't. Sting came out for the Raptors with the bat and beat up everybody, dogs. And niggas still get with the same trick. The stigma. Come on, that still gets me.
My favorite is when somebody takes, when he takes, what's it? Yeah, Sting did it recently on AEW. Yeah. When he took off the Sting mask, but it was paint. I was like, bro.
I love it.
What the fuck is the
he
point?
He gets me all the time. Every time, like, oh man.
I pop for Sting. I don't care what you say.
He gets me all the time, B.
He's not good.
Name a wrestler who fucks 60 niggas in the ring at one, B. We're on your back, B.
Maybe Jonathan Cena. Maybe.
There wasn't 60 niggas, though.
That Nexus shit?
It was 8.
It was about 80 of them
eight.
Niggas.
It was 8. That's it.
Son.
Sting for 60 niggas in one.
Son, this nigga Sting is trash.
He's not trash. Not do, we're not doing this today. We're not doing this today. Anything so else before great. We do
Cody
wrap
Luther,
up?
Cody Luther X, thank you for what you've done to wrestling.
Thank you.
We've had our disagreements, but we knew you didn't belong in
WWE. We knew the truth. It's okay.
But he said it. He said it in the I watched the Austin interview.
Yeah, I told like last week, like I told you guys, if you have not watched the Broken Skull podcast featuring Cody Rhodes, I highly recommend it because it's a good insight of the beginning, the middle, and the current state of the American Nightmare. So it's really good. Once again, so let's wrap it up. Next Sunday, we'll be back at Legends for AEW's Double or Nothing. If you're not going to Vegas, yeah, time's flying. So make sure to RSVP next Sunday. Next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, well, the following Saturday, we're in June, and NXT In Your House will be on Saturday night.
When?
June 4th or 5th. It's the following weekend. Yeah, June 4th. So they just announced NXT In Your House will be the Saturday, so the night before Hell in a Cell.
Speaking of In Your House, man, August 20th, Jobber Slam.
Stay tuned. Get excited,
House
guys.
Party, featuring Simon Miller, Saul Wilkins.
Finally.
Dang.
So next Saturday.
Special guest referee.
There's no special guest referee.
At all.
At all.
At all. So next Sunday we'll be at Legends. The following Saturday, NXT In Your House. The following Sunday, we'll be back at Legends for Hell in a Cell. If you're going there, it will be in Chicago, Illinois, at Allstate. And then
Samoa Joe.
I actually spoke to him yesterday because he was asking me, was I coming to Chicago? And I was like, hell nah, I ain't going to AW. I ain't doing that. June 24th.
What's that?
No, the 26th, the Forbidden Door, AEW and New Japan. It's a Sunday. It's crazy. They're back on the Sundays and WWE's back on the Saturdays. It's weird.
Is it sold out already?
Yeah. Sold out, and that's another thing. Sold out isn't really sold out because there are people that literally will buy tickets and resell them. So yeah, there goes that. Yeah, but we'll be back next week. We do have a few interviews coming up
June 26th. Oh damn, I'm not gonna be here.
You still be at Disney?
I'm coming back from Disney.
When?
I'm going,
that week before.
I'm going to Disney the 19th. I fly back the 26th.
Oh, so you're good. You all right? I've flown back and gone to work, so you all right?
No, I'm fine. I want to go to the actual show.
Oh, good luck with that. Well, then you have to change your flight and go to Chicago.
That'd be kind of dope.
Yeah. As always, I'm Shadow Fabich out here with Sir Wilkins and Mr. Black. Hashtag Black Excellence. Hashtag we are out. We are all ignoring you. We are all ignoring you. It's not his favorite.
Can you end this, please, man?